As we come to this part of God's Word in Luke's Gospel, let us come to our God in prayer and ask Him for His help. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, this is Your Word that You have given through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and by Your Holy Spirit. It is given for us as a warning to ourselves, and also that we may be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to listen to what He has said, not only about the past, but also about our own time and what is to come. And we pray in these things for Your glory and for Your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in this part of the Gospel, and not long before Jesus goes to die for the sins of His people, here there is a powerful word that He gives about things that are to come, and here are apocalyptic words from the Lord Jesus about the place in which He stands, and also about the world in which He and we now live. He is speaking about the times in which He lived. He is speaking to His disciples about what would happen in Jerusalem. But He is also, more than that, speaking about the world in which we live and what we can anticipate in the future as well, and how we are to prepare for what is to come. And Jesus helps us, I think, to prepare for what is to come with the words that He gives in His prophecy concerning Jerusalem. And when we compare what He said to what happened, and how important the advice was that Jesus was giving to His disciples and those who were hearing them, that we must pay very close attention to what Jesus is saying here. In his commentary on Luke's Gospel, Michael Wilcock speaks of how there are two authorities clashing here in the Bible. There is the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and the authority of the Jewish leaders. And they are facing up against one another here. They are coming in waves against the Lord Jesus, but have been unable to displace Him from the role that He has and the purpose that He has in saving us from our sin. Yet, in the eyes of the world, and Jesus as well, aware of what would happen, that the devil would have his hour, and He will speak about that later on. But it is only an hour. It is only a brief time that the Lord Jesus is dead, for after 3 days He rises again to never die again. And then we see then the truth of what Jesus, who He is, and what He has done, and that the authority belongs to Him, not to those who were governing in the time that He was living. That while they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus lives and He reigns today as well. Now, because Jesus reigns, we want to listen carefully to what He says in the first place about the Jews and about the city of Jerusalem, particularly in the time that He lived, and then also to the end times that we are in and the final events of the world which Jesus speaks about when this world passes away and it is replaced with the new world that God has in store with His kingdom. And we want to look at these two events that Jesus speaks about and notice the parallels that Jesus brings out between these events, the The first is a very local matter. It's to do with the city of Jerusalem. It's to do with the holy city, the place that God had established for his temple and his presence until the Lord Jesus came and God dwelt with us in him. And God's presence is now located in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so it is to him that we look to when we meet with God. And Jesus brings out parallels here between what will happen in Jerusalem and what will happen at the very end, which concerns the whole of his creation. And he speaks here about how you will know when it is going to happen, and also what you must do when it happens as well. He speaks about this for the people of Jerusalem, how they will know when the time comes when Jerusalem will be destroyed, and what the people must do when Jesus says this happens. And then also for ourselves as well, how we will know when this world is coming to an end and what we must do. And then we will look at an illustration that Jesus gives us in the parable to help us. Well, to look first of all at what Jesus says concerning the temple and the city of Jerusalem. He says in verses 5 and 6 that the temple in Jerusalem will be destroyed. When Jesus was there with his disciples, it was not often that his disciples were there in Jerusalem, but this building was a majestic building and the disciples were marveling at it. Look at this amazing building. Look at how it has been made and how it has been constructed. There's nothing in all the country like the temple. But Jesus says the time is coming when not only will this temple not be here, but there will not be one stone left upon another. I wonder what the fort at the top of the hill looked like when King Brud was living there. It must have been something quite special. It's called the King's View. The terrace, King's View Terrace down there, named after the King's View that the King Brud would have had over the town. Well, I haven't been up there yet, but I've seen a picture of it, and there's not one stone left upon another. And Jesus is saying something similar about what will happen with the temple. And he also speaks about the city as well in verses 20 and 21 and also in 24, where he speaks about the destruction of Jerusalem. Not the taking only of Jerusalem, but its razing to the ground, its utter destruction. It was something which was later described by Josephus, who was a Jewish historian who was taken to Rome afterwards, as the death of Jerusalem. This was a city that was utterly destroyed by the power of the Roman Empire. And the Lord Jesus says in verse 24 that the nation will fall by the edge of a sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot. That is a similar image to what he has just said about the temple, that there is not one stone left upon another. It is underfoot. The city has been brought low so that now it is underfoot. It is under the ground. It is nothing at all. And Jesus says this is what is going to happen. Now, Jesus is speaking about what will happen. He says when he's going to the cross and the people are concerned for the Lord Jesus, he says, "Don't worry about me, worry about your children. worry about your grandchildren, for what is coming to Jerusalem. And it was only a matter of years afterwards, in AD 70, less than 40 years after Jesus speaks, that the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, and destroyed in the manner that Jesus speaks about. And the way this happened was that at the time, and in the time that the Lord Jesus lived, the city of Jerusalem, the people and the nation, they were under the rule of the Roman Empire, but they rejected the Roman Empire. Every day they would offer a sacrifice in the city, which was a way of showing their acknowledgement of the Roman Empire. And those sacrifices came to an end. And Josephus speaks about how this was the marker for what was then to come, the war that Rome would wage upon the city of Jerusalem. And there was chaos in the city. There was civil war in the city. There were people who were vying for power and vying for authority in the city of Jerusalem. Jewish people, I mean. They were trying to outdo one another. They were trying to claim different parts of the city. They were trying to show their own power and authority. And there were battles that raged between Jewish factions. They killed one another. And this was before Rome even got there. And then there was already civil war. The city had been turned into a place where people were vying for power and for pleasure. The temple had become a brothel. And then Rome came and laid siege to the city. The Israelites at this time then were not, they were under the pressure of the Roman army, which was known to be the strongest, easily the strongest army in the world, which had conquered, of course, across the nations with fleeting foot. And where the Israelites did not kill one another in Jerusalem, the Roman Empire did. And they came, they destroyed the city. They destroyed the temple. They took away the valuables, and what they didn't kill, they took for themselves and paraded back to Rome. And when they came back to Rome, they made a great display of the things that they had done, and they enacted before the people of Rome the destruction that they had brought to the city of Jerusalem. And they took back one of the main ringleaders who had brought about civil war in Jerusalem before, and brought him along, tied up, along with the display that they were acting out of what they'd done in Rome, and then they executed him. And they brought back the temple furniture, and they paraded what they brought back from the temple back to Rome. And if you're to visit Rome today, in the Roman Forum near the Colosseum, there is an arch, the Titus Arch, which celebrates the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And on that arch, it's there today, you see the pictures of the people, the Roman army, bringing back the furniture from the temple. It was, as Jesus had said, that the city would be trampled underfoot and that the temple would be destroyed. Why? Well, from one point of view, from a if you were to go and read a book in the bookshop about how Jerusalem fell, from one point of view, it was because they had turned against Rome. But Jesus says it's more than this. He says in verse 22, these are the days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. And perhaps here he is referring back to Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 8, where it says there, the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. He'd spoken in the previous chapter of how covenants had been broken, cities despised, the highways lying waste, that there was no regard for man. And there's also a similar word given in Hosea chapter 9 and verse 7 as well. And also Jesus had said something similar too back in Luke chapter 20 and verse 16, where he had spoken about the parable of the wicked tenants and what had happened when God had sent his prophets to the city of Jerusalem, and habitually they had hurt these men and they had killed them. And then God sent his son. Surely they will listen to my son. But no, they said, this is now our opportunity to take the inheritance for ourselves. And Jesus is speaking how the city had been opposed to God and opposed to his coming. And so when Jesus came, when the Son came, they mocked and they beat him, and then they crucified him. And Jesus is here speaking about the divine justice and righteousness. This is not right. And so God brings about vengeance against the city. And as he had done before, when the people had rebelled against God in times of the Old Testament, and God, as he'd said, raised up an army against the people and took them into captivity. Well, here was the second time that God destroyed the city. Five times Jerusalem had been taken captive, but this was the second time that it was destroyed. And Jesus is speaking about that time. This is what is coming. Now, when Jesus speaks, he is speaking about what is in this time still to come. And so he's speaking from the point of view here of the people here. He's speaking about the future. But notice that he doesn't only say what will happen. He says to the people he says also to the people when it will happen as well. And we can notice that when he says to them, when it will happen, when will this happen? And the answer is in verse 20, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. He says that is the sign. That is when this is going to happen. When the city is surrounded by armies, then this is when the total destruction of the city is coming. And it's unstoppable, because God has decreed it in his judgment. Nobody will be able to stop this. So he says, this is the sign then. This is when you'll know. We must pay attention to this verse, because it's important for what will come for ourselves as well. This is the sign. It's when the city is surrounded by armies. That is when the city will be destroyed. For then Jesus says, what you must do when this happens. And we can see that in verse 21. he says, "Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it, for these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written." And he speaks of the terror of this day. "Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against those people." So Jesus says, this is how it's going to happen. And this is how you know it will happen. The armies will be outside the city. When you see the armies outside the city, you must get out. But do you know what happened? Do you know what happened? What happened when the armies surrounded the city? Well, what happened was this. The people flooded in. The people flooded in. Instead of getting out, they all came in. They all came in because, I suppose, many thought, we can deal with this. We can sort it out. We're able to work this out. If only they had listened to the Lord Jesus, they would have come away with their lives. But no, they didn't listen to Jesus. And they came into the city believing that they would save themselves by going into the city. But Jesus says, no, we can't. There's a film I saw a while ago, which was a film about the end times. And what the film was saying was, and it showed the people going to Jerusalem when the end seemed to be nigh, and people piling into Jerusalem, and what happened was the city was destroyed. Now it seemed to be that the filmmaker was making the point in the context of the film that you won't find your safety in religion. But you see, this is also the point that Jesus was making. Don't find your safety in the city. You can only find your safety in me. And you only find your safety in my word. And if you listen to my word, you'll find safety. He said, go out and leave. But what happened in actual fact, because people would not listen to Jesus, they came in. Now, the history tells us about the people who flooded in. But I wonder also if, were there not some people, perhaps, who had listened to the Lord Jesus, who did flee, and they escaped? Now, Jesus speaks not only about what would come to Jerusalem, but he speaks about what is to come for us as well, for the world, for us who live in the world. He speaks about the coming of the Son of Man. He speaks about his return. This is when Jesus rose up from the dead, and who came to save us from our sin, returns the second time in judgment. Here, when he speaks about Jerusalem, here's a local judgment, but he's speaking here about a greater one to come. The universal judgment. The judgment of the whole world, not only a city, but the whole world. The very end. Which, again, he says, is still to come. Now, what Jesus said about Jerusalem came true. And on that basis, I would appeal to you to listen, therefore, to what he says about what is to come. As he spoke regarding the fall of Jerusalem, so he also speaks about the very end as well. How will you know? When will this happen? Well, the sign when Jerusalem came to its destruction in AD 70 was that Jerusalem was surrounded by armies. That's when it happens, when you see it. And when will the end come? The end will come when they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And so he says, this is when it's going to happen. Now he says, this is what you must do. When these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, when he says, straighten up, he says what he means here is take heart in expectation of your deliverance. He's saying to his people, take heart in expectation of your deliverance. He's speaking about the straightening up. It's not in the first place a straightening up of the body. It's a straightening up of the soul. Here, your salvation is coming. Here is your redemption drawing near. Here is your release from a captive condition, a condition that we're not able to get ourselves out of, our sin. And the wage of sin, which is death. But here comes your redemption. So look to him. For here is the one in whom we find deliverance from our sins. And await him. Eagerly anticipate and await him. Here is your deliverance. It's so important what Jesus is saying. Because he's saying to us here, don't look at your own works. Don't look at your own record. Look rather at me. And look at my record. And in my record, you shall find your record. Paul said it was on the cross that the record of my debt was nailed there. In Christ, that's where I am. And so when the Lord Jesus returns, he says to us, take heart in expectation of your deliverance. The Lord Jesus releases us from our captive condition, and so therefore we must have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in him for this. If we do not, what might happen? If we do not listen to Jesus, what might happen? He says to us, now I believe here, pay attention to what happened in Jerusalem. He says that he is speaking about what would happen, but the history tells us that there were many, many, many people who did not listen to him, and it cost them their lives. Jesus would say to us something along the same lines. Listen to what I have for you. In me you shall find full redemption, forgiveness for your sins. When I come, await eagerly with expectation of the redemption of your bodies and souls. He gives us, in the final place, an illustration to help us here. He told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, the generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus is referring back to the wars and the violence, the famines, the earthquakes. And he's saying to us, yes, these are very significant, and we must not underestimate that. But what these things are about, what they are about is, the answer is not found in themselves. There is something even greater happening. We must pay attention to what is happening in the world. But Jesus gives us an illustration to help us to see what the meaning of these things are and what God's purposes are in bringing them about. He says it is like the fig tree. And when you see the fig tree come out to leaf, what is the larger meaning of this? He says, the meaning of this is that summer is coming. And so he says, when there are these violences, and when there are these troubles, and when there are earthquakes and famines and wars and rows, what does that mean for us? What must we observe? And what he says is, here's what you're to observe from this. The kingdom of God is drawing near. And the Lord, may he help us then, when we are involved in the things of the world, to pay attention also to what his great purpose is in this. That these are the signs of his very kingdom coming. And it is near. In the last verses of the chapter, Jesus speaks more about what to do. In the meantime, we, Lord willing, will come back to that next week. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, help us that we may look to the Lord Jesus and listen to him carefully and obey him, that we may not follow in the path of those many who did not listen to the Lord Jesus and it cost them their lives. But that we would carefully attend to what he has said, and that we would thereby rejoice in Jesus Christ, that we would straighten up as he comes, and that we would eagerly await a full redemption in him. We thank you for these gospel truths and for the hope that you give to us in them. For Jesus' sake. Amen.